What it do, people? It's your man Animal Brown checking in. Listen, on Deckers, we have an action-packed episode. We are fresh off the flight from Miami. The Revolt Music Conference 2017 was popping. Of course, we're here to give you the boots on the ground, first-hand perspective of all things that happened. Busta Rhymes was angry. T.I. looked angry. Cassie looked amazing. Puff looked busy. We're giving you the whole rundown of everything we saw at the Revolt Music Conference. You're gonna fuck with it heavy. Also, special announcement for our Nashville listeners, Nashville and surrounding areas. We are participating in a live podcast this Saturday, October 21st. Shout out to the Dope Shit Only crew. They are throwing a fly ass pop-up / live podcast / whatever the else it needs to be. Man, listen, more details on that during the show. Just know you need to be there. And of course, this long ass intro and episode is brought to you by Realville Media Group. Do us a favor, go to realvillemedia.com, check out everything related to the network.
Related to the network means the Full Sport Press Podcast, J Hove, How Weezy, Big Jeff over there holding it down with the top 7 shooting guards episode. Also, we have Fresh for Dummies. They got the fall preview for you, what to wear in the fall, getting you fresh, getting you right for the dummies. And also a brand new episode of The Ladies Room should be dropping this week. That's the Realville Media lineup. This is the new episode. Check it out.
Hey, what it do? What the business is?
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown, a.k.a. the Husky Vegan, a.k.a. Veggie Miller. I'm bringing it back to the OG name. All right, follow the kid, Animal underscore Brown.
Wings in Miami, though.
Nah, y'all tried to tip me with the wings in Miami. I wasn't going.
Wings in Miami, though.
Didn't touch them. Ate the salad. You feel me?
Shout out House of Wings.
Absolutely. Follow the kid, Animal underscore Brown, on Instagram, Twitter, and Snap.
Wait.
What happened?
We found the real Animal Brown.
He right here.
No, absolutely not. They don't have an underscore in their name. They are the original, and she holding it down.
I seen that with no post.
It don't matter. She got that post. She got that block locked. Shout out the real Animal Brown out there. The real Animal Brown. You might need to do that, the real Animal Brown.
I'm good on that. You going to tell people your social media?
Absolutely
or no?
Not. Nah, I'm just joking. I am Spike Lou, man, for everybody that's looking for me.
I would ask what you had on deck, but shit, we was both in Miami.
Yeah, we went to Miami this weekend, man. That was pretty dope. We'll get into that later because that's the topic. But what stuck out to you?
Man, we'll come to this rap shit. Look, what? Very simple.
Wait. You ain't watching no TV, no sports, no nothing? My
Sunday is...
You boycotting the NFL now?
Yeah, I don't like how they doing cap.
Fuck me.
I don't like how they doing cap. I'm boycotting the NFL.
I don't like how they doing cap.
It's been 321 days since he's had a job.
Since we usually do this, I'm going to put you in the category with hype beast like J Hove over there.
What happened?
You a hype beast.
Why?
Now you boycotting the NFL because Aaron Rodgers is
out? Nah, it has nothing to do with it.
It got everything to do with it. Because if Aaron Rodgers was playing, you'd be watching. Just like Jay say, I wouldn't wear up-tempo Nikes ever. I look on his Instagram this weekend at TSU Homecoming, what Jay got on. What J Hove got on. Up-tempo Nikes. Oh, these are different. They're Supreme. What? They fit? Do they look different? I'm sorry. All right, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, I'm boycotting the NFL. My Sundays are free
y'all
now.
Y'all hype beast. I just say all that to say y'all a hype beast.
It has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers' injury.
Y'all hype beast. Now you boycotting.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with his injury. I just don't like how they're doing cap.
So let's get to rap.
All right, so this rap shit.
Right.
Now, of course, this happened.
Old news first.
Yeah, old news first. This happened right after we recorded the damn episode last week. Eminem goes on the Cypher, solo dolo, 5 minutes straight, freestyling, throwing nothing but heat-seeking missiles at your president, Donald Trump.
My president.
Now, we've had time to kind of decipher it. Was it good? Was it not? People loved it. People hated it. Did it deserve the attention that it got?
It goes to what I always say, what we always say with Eminem. He's going to get that attention because he's Eminem. No one that looks like him ever done what he has done is doing.
Agreed.
And for him to be like, hey, even if you like me and you like Donald Trump, I'm saying fuck you. So it should get the attention that it got. I'm not knocking that. I don't understand why people are saying, hey, he's white. If that was a black person doing that, they wouldn't have let him do it, or whatever the reaction that people were saying as far as it being a black person. I don't get that.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't make sense to me, because it take away from what Eminem actually did. So I'm not saying that, like, my son, we'll get to him probably a little bit later in this conversation, but he ripped it too.
Absolutely.
But those two ain't in comparison. I ain't got to take nothing away from Eminem just because my son ripped it.
Or vice versa.
Well, vice versa, exactly. So the people that are like, oh, it's hype beast. Oh, it's just because he's white. Oh, it's like, this is Eminem's whole career. You just now realizing this? Like, they've been giving him this credit that he's been getting his whole career because he's white.
Yeah.
Like, that's been it. And we had him on our Hip Hop First Ballot Hall of Fame. And in my opinion, the reason that he deserves that spot is it was harder in the beginning for people to be like, hey, I listen to this, so I fuck with that. Him going on to sell like a couple million records, his first debut album, that doesn't happen.
Right.
So that's Hall of Fame worthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So to the freestyles, I saw people are so quick to either want to say something's classic or trash. We know how that goes. It's the social media area. An album will come out at midnight, and by 12:30, it's either classic or it's the worst shit anybody's ever heard. No different from this freestyle. A lot of people, but what I don't like, for an example, I saw you put up in the rap chat, and if you're not on the rap chat on Facebook, go join that group.
Definitely.
You put up that he murdered the Cypher.
Murdered it.
I agree 100%.
Yep.
What people are getting confused is that because you say he murdered the Cypher, that means that was the greatest thing that you've ever seen in your life.
Nah,
that's not what that not. Means, people. It means he murdered the Cypher.
Right.
Guess who else murdered it? My son murdered it too. Black murdered it too. There was a couple of other people that did pretty well. Just because we're saying that Eminem did well does not mean that no one else did and he was the star of the show and all hell. Relax. He just did a good job on the Cypher. It was different from everyone else's. Stop comparing it to people that had instrumentals. Stop comparing it to people who were in Cyphers with three and four other people. His was different. It was dolo. I like the scenery. Mm-hmm. I like the whole atmosphere. I like the energy. I like the anger in his voice.
You like Eminem with the chin strap and the gold chain?
I liked all that.
Okay.
I'm fucking with all of that. I thought it was creative. I liked the poetry style that he did it in, taking the pauses.
Right.
I thought it was fly. It was different from your regular Cypher. It was a break from the norm for the three or four other Cyphers that they had.
Okay.
I thought it was dope. People need to relax. It was very polarizing, though, which got people talking.
Great point. So let's take this to another level from the conversations that I've heard about this previously from people that discuss the same things that we do.
Okay.
So the backlash that I've heard is, oh, he got an album coming out. He's doing this because of that.
Doing what?
He's attacking Donald Trump, the most popular, well, not popular.
Punching bag.
Yeah, he's not a punching bag. I'm just saying, like, that if you want a headline, say something about Trump, especially if you're Eminem, right?
Okay.
So why would we get mad at him for pulling one of the best marketing schemes that you probably could pull? Jay-Z did a debut of Blueprint with H to the Izzo.
Right. That's what people do.
At the BET Awards. Like, you do stuff like this. So when people say, oh, Eminem is only trying to promote his album. Okay, what's wrong with that? I'm a rapper. I'm supposed to, especially if I'm Eminem, I'm not coming from the hood per se. I'm not coming from a place where you're going to look at me for social issues that have to do with black people necessarily. I can use my platform to attack Donald Trump as someone who you necessarily wouldn't see attacking Trump.
So here's the thing.
So why am I being criticized for that? That's opportunity. Yes, I'm going to do that.
Now, here's the here.
If I'm Eminem.
There's two sides to this.
Okay.
Number one, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, hey, man, when is Tom Brady going to step up and say something? Hey, man, when is Aaron Rodgers going to step up and say something? And then Eminem steps up and says something, and you go, oh, he's an opportunist. His album's coming out. You can't have it both ways. That's number one. Number two, this isn't his first time mentioning Donald Trump. He had a freestyle late last year during the election shitting on Trump. So people don't remember that because he didn't have an album coming out. So don't say that you can't do that. He also shitted on the whole system and as a whole on Big Sean verse. And he also shouted out Sandra Bland and Philando Castile. He did all that on Big Sean verse, and he had no album coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So No, don't. I don't want to hear the pro. It was promo, and of course it was. That's why he was invited to the
fucking
show.
That's his job. I'm supposed to promo. When, I got an album coming out. Yes.
When I go on Breakfast Club, I probably have something going on, dude. Right. I have something to push, something to promote. If I'm asked about something and I give a hot take, then that's just how it unfolds. Yep. You can't not get knocked for taking an opportunity and using your platform for this particular message, which I thought was a pretty powerful message. Were you surprised that Trump didn't say nothing?
Nope, because Trump knows what he was doing. Like, Eminem is a brilliant marketer. That's how he sold this many albums. Clearly. That's how he's been successful as a rapper. Trump, the same thing. This is how Trump became president.
Clearly.
So Trump knows if I respond to Eminem, who has a lot more freedom to say what he wants to say about me, that's a losing battle.
Yeah.
Ain't no way in the world he gonna tweet anything or say anything about Eminem to give him fuel to this fire.
He ain't had nothing because for it. I don't think he had nothing for it.
He don't.
Yeah,
he know Eminem got unlimited, I want to say, resources in the sense of words, because he's a lot more clever than
clearly
Trump can be.
Right.
And he can be a lot more derogatory than Trump can be in the position that he is, even though Trump ain't respecting it at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but he still knows, like, both of them are playing the same game.
Agreed.
Let's not knock that. Let's not act like Eminem ain't playing the same game. Like, they're both doing this for popularity, and Eminem knows I can do this and get away with a lot more than you. So if you dare respond, this is way
it's
more.
A layup.
It's a layup for me and my albums. I'm gonna sell 5 million when I come out.
I thought this
people that hate me gonna buy just to run the steamroll over.
I thought, yeah, it's true. I thought this flew under the radar because of the platform that it was on. It was on the BET Hip Hop Awards.
Trump watched the BET Awards.
No, he don't.
Yes, he do.
Now, if this was the Grammys,
Trump don't watch the Grammys though.
I think he would have, but it would have made more waves.
Trump want to know what you Negroes are doing, man. He watching the BET Hip Hop Awards.
He probably a fan. He probably like Cardi B.
he probably loves Cardi.
That's what I'm saying. Real quick before we move on, when we attended the Breakfast Club taping, more on that later. One of the questions was who had the hotter verse, Maison or Eminem, and somebody commented on it. And said they brought up Eminem's past lyrics. Oh, he got in trouble. I think he called like a black bitch. He said something, man. Something about women when he was like 17 during one of those like freestyle tapes. He said nigga.
Yeah, he said nigga.
Okay, there you go. He said the N word like several years before he got on or whatnot. And he was like, man, y'all don't forget, don't fall for it. Don't forget he did XYZ. Okay, bruh. Look, fam. Here's my only issue with that. He was advocating for Maison's verse because he was uplifting the community. Now, if you don't know, or if you're not familiar with Maison, he was a rapper on the come up from New York. He was affiliated with Rough Riders. He stole the show on Rough Riders Volume 1. He was on the come up. Then he got locked up because he was in the streets doing some crazy shit. And then he got out, changed his life. Now he's on the wave that he's on now. If you're not going to hold that against Maison, then don't hold some shit that Eminem said when he was 16 in his basement recording on the shitty camcorder.
It's convenient for a wannabe activist, though. It's like one of them people that be like, if I want to stand up on the Breakfast Club and want to be like, hey, remember Eminem said this. I'm not giving Eminem a pass for that.
Of course
not. Since then, what has Eminem done?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't consider Eminem a racist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't consider that. It may be true. I just don't. That's
right.
Not.
I haven't seen any evidence.
I ain't seen that.
Ain't nothing
proved that other than you referencing something that happened over 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now, Eminem looked like he just hung around a lot of black friends, so he thought that shit was cool to
he
say.
He might have thought it was cool when he was younger. Now he know it. I ain't heard him say it since, so what's the issue?
So why bring it up? Because
makes sense for your argument.
Exactly. Because if somebody would have stood up there and brought up my son's track record or his fucking jacket, his damn criminal history, and be like, he's woke, though?
Yeah,
that would have been trash. Like, stop, bro. Quit bringing up shit from 20, 25 years ago. Like, people can't evolve. That's whack.
Yeah, quit trying to make bullshit arguments.
Or that.
Like, stop. You know what I mean? People tried so hard to take away from what Eminem did. Or trying to say that people who are crediting him are giving him some type of pass,
crown,
some type of leeway,
yeah.
Calling him the best rapper. Like, I'm going to be honest. I don't care if Keith Olbermann said he didn't listen to rap and now he thinks that. I don't care.
Nobody
his
cares.
Opinion
he's not qualified.
Is null and void in this category.
And y'all know that.
And it's great that you listen to Eminem now and you think rap is cool. Go check out Killer Mike. Go check out Run the Jewels. Go check out Talib Kweli. There are a lot of people that you can listen to, Keith Olbermann. I don't care that you say, hey, I listen to Eminem and now I like rap. That don't offend me.
That made so much more noise than it needed to. Nobody give a shit.
People want to make it like a... Like Keith Olbermann wasn't being racist when he said that, nor was he shitting on rap. Nah. He was only stating his opinion.
From
and
his
that's
perspective,
cool.
though.
That's cool. Yeah. And people, instead of getting angry at that, say, hey, okay, you like that? Then listen to this.
That's it.
And tie him on in. Come on in. Now you like it. Come on in.
Good. Pump it.
Right.
Tweet about Killer Mike, dude. That's cool. Don't give a shit. All right. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new number one record in the country right now. It's no longer Cardi B. She had a 3-week run, though. Grand opening, grand closing.
don't do Cardi like that. She just shook the Ville for homecoming. I heard too. Shout out Cardi.
Absolutely.
And TSU homecoming.
New number one, man. Post Malone featuring 21 Savage.
This number one in the Billboard.
Absolutely. Okay. New number one record. It's called Rockstar. We listened to it earlier.
Yeah.
My question is,
did 21 Savage rip it?
Yes. Of course not. That's rhetorical. We know he did.
Yes, he did.
Are you finally ready to take Post Malone serious?
No. Serious in what?
As a hip-hop star.
No. I never take Post
you
Malone.
You think Wiz is a star?
Yeah, Wiz a star. Wiz can actually rap. Like, I listen to this and the other big song that he has.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And White Iverson?
He not rapping. Mm. It's cool that you want to use hip-hop lingo to put a song out and make it popular, and because you're a good musician, it sounds good.
Right.
That's cool. But that don't make you a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not, like, people keep trying to throw him in this hip hop lane because he's semi cool. He has rap features. Like, he does, like, he makes big records and he's a good musician. I'm not taking anything away from him, but he's not a rapper. There's nothing that I've heard in the big songs that he has that makes him a rapper. He ain't spitting bars.
Right.
He's harmonizing. He's doing things that singers or pop stars do. I don't understand why he's thrown in the hip-hop lane because he look grungy, dusty, and dirty.
I'm going to tell you why.
And says hip-hop stuff and has gold teeth.
I'm going to tell you why.
All right, let me hear it.
The reason he's thrown in the hip-hop category is because he uses hip-hop beats. Mm. He is singing over them. That's 1,000% fact.
Right.
But he uses hip-hop beats, and as you mentioned, he uses hip-hop features. That's
and
also
lingo,
why.
Lingo.
Yeah, and the lingo, and he had the braids, and he had the look, and all of that. And like you said, the goals and shit. Now, and it's the same thing with a Lil Uzi Vert, because Lil Uzi Vert sings a lot of shit, but he also has hip-hop production, though. So these cats are using hip-hop beats. They're hip-hop beats without question. Mm-hmm. We just listened to that Rockstar. That's a hip-hop beat. 21 Savage rapped over it.
Ripped it.
Completely jackballed the song.
They ripped it.
But here's my thing. I'm not taking him seriously. And I was actually with Post Malone up to a certain point.
What made you jump off the Post Malone?
I'm gonna tell
you're a lot
you
more lenient than I am. So what made you jump off the bandwagon?
Because I he came out with the goals and the braids and okay.
He looked
crazy.
Dirty.
Looked a little dusty.
Dirty.
But I don't know if this is him. But this is how you judge the content of a man's character. It's by what he does when no one's looking.
You read that yesterday?
No.
Okay.
I'm just deep. I read.
You read that yesterday.
Now.
Wait.
Really?
Go ahead.
Nah, damn. I'm a reader. Okay. Knowledge. Okay,
that
so.
It was on a billboard. Literally.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dead ass, I didn't know that. But in his instance, it's what do you do, what you're doing before you're famous. That's when no one's looking.
Yeah.
And I watched a documentary on him on Complex that just dropped about 2 weeks ago.
I don't believe you.
And I watched it because I was interested. They went through his crib, old photos, his friends.
Right.
There isn't a trace of hip hop in dude.
It's not a trace. What was his friends like? Brian and Billy, or his
absolutely
friends, like,
guitars, rock star. They were playing a rock song. He knew all the words. That's cool.
Right.
There wasn't a trace of hip hop in dude. Not in old pictures. Not in the albums that he had on his shelf.
With no
not
black
in
friends
anything.
In the
no. Mm. He had no, see, and that's my, when I saw that, I said, oh, okay, dude's not hip hop then. He's cashing out. Mm-hmm. He got with a producer that had them beats. He knows how to write melodies because he listens to the rock music and he added those over the rap beats and now he's on. That's clearly what it is. And here's the thing. You look at old pictures of me, old pictures of you. I got on Pistons shit when I'm 15, 16. You want to know how you know I'm a Pistons fan? Because I got the jersey on when I'm 15 in a picture. I got the Green Bay starter jacket hanging up in my mama's house right now from teenage years. You want to know how I listen to rap? Because I got every No Limit case still in my mama's house on the shelf, dude. That's how you know I've been on this. You can look at the nigga Carfax and see he not about that hip-hop life, dude. So for that, he's a cornball, and I am no longer riding with Post Malone. I just put it out there. I wasn't on the train to begin with like that.
Oh, I was going
to
say, you was riding with him?
Nah, I really wasn't, but that sold it up, and I see why people don't like dude. I didn't quite get it at first because I give people time to prove themselves. Yes, you look crazy. Yes, you look different, but I can't go against you just because you look different. So you have to prove yourself and show what your Carfax is.
Let me ask you this. So you said, I didn't watch the documentary that you watched, but it poses a question for me. Do you think that he does this purposely? And is that why you feel that way? Or do you think that this has just been the role that he's given? He's cooler than Macklemore. You know what I'm saying? He got the gold teeth. It seems like somebody writing for him, somebody giving him the lingo and making it seem like he knows what's going on. For some reason, 21 Savage is hopping on his songs. Do you think it's him? But do you think he go home and cut that shit off and like, I don't want nothing to do with this?
Listen, I think he goes home and listens to Hank Williams Jr. and plays guitar.
You think he voted for Trump?
All that. I mean, he young, so he may not have fell for the Trump shit. But he goes home and listens to Hank Williams Jr. and plays guitar, which is fine. But it's whack when you braid your hair up and put a grill in your mouth.
Grill and he trying to do it. Because I was saying, he ain't asking people to listen to his music or consider him a rapper. People are doing that.
But remember when Vanilla, I'm taking it back, we're aging ourselves. When Vanilla Ice first came out, he made up the story about him being from the streets. That was his background. But it turned out he really wasn't from the streets, though. He grew up with money.
Turned out he knew how to flip houses.
Yeah, exactly. He grew up with money and then grew out of that rap shit and learned how to flip houses once he saw it get real. So, like, that's corny to me, and I just saw that, and it's disappointing. But I know we laugh at motherfuckers like Riff Raff, but if you Google Riff Raff's high school picture, he looks exactly the fucking same. He had braids with the fucking Boston Celtics jersey with a black dude swag. You could tell he had black friends, dude.
So let me bring up one more point before we get off of this, because 50 says something in reference to this that I think is important. 50 said, when I was beefing with Fat Joe, there was a character that I had to turn on. That's what people wanted to see. That's rap.
For sure.
That was my persona.
Right.
I didn't necessarily have a problem with him.
Of course.
Now, these aren't his words verbatim. This is me paraphrasing. Yeah. So, with that being said, is that not the same thing?
Now, that was corny, too.
Okay.
When 50... So
50's corny.
For that. Okay. For that action. Yes, right. He was corny. Gotcha. But Post Malone's whole career is based off being corny because that's not him. Mm. 50 being the bully, so to speak, air quotes over bully, was kind of his M.O. because he went hard at Ja, and he actually had a problem with Ja. But when he went at Fat Joe and Jada Kiss, he really didn't have a problem with those
dudes.
And
he said he liked the song.
Yeah, he loved Lean Back. Thought that shit was amazing, just like everybody else did. So, yeah, that was a corny act on his behalf, and it actually ended up kind of ruining his career because that shtick got old.
It's part of being a rapper, though.
It's competitive nature.
Well, it's part of trying to live up to being a rapper. I feel like people like Jay-Z don't have, like, there's not a persona that he had to buy into his whole career. And that's why he's as successful as he is and was able to drop a 444. Jay-Z never had to live. Like, there was never a point in time where you felt like that Jay-Z was trying to be a character.
I agree.
Well, maybe, what's the album that's trash? What's the Budweiser album?
Oh, Kingdom Come.
That was kind of the only time that you feel like, come on, Jay.
Yeah, a little bit. But he wasn't being a character of himself, though.
True, he was not. But you could tell he did that for the bag.
Yes, you could.
All right. With that being said, 50 is telling you that rappers turn it on and off. Irv said it about Ja. Like, Ja wasn't trying to be. Like, he was like, dude, I'm this party guy. I ain't trying to be out here beefing, making beef songs with 50 Cent.
Yeah, but
I'd rather just not make music.
Yeah, that's because he knew where the money was. When Ja first came out, nigga, the name of that group is Murder, Inc. Mm-hmm. The name of that group was The Murderers. Like, Ja came out on, like most rappers, he came out on street shit, and then once he saw that when you get a single, when you kind of harmonize and somebody sings on it and the register start ringing, he flipped over to that same way Nelly did. Remember Murphy Lee said Nelly was in the streets? And facts. Then they was rapping street shit, and facts. Then he flipped it to the sing-songy shit and got on. But that's a whole, we can talk about that all day. But exactly. Post Malone trash. I'm cool off him. Moving on, man. Birdman Rick Ross, the beef has been sparked up once again. Of course, let's take it back to earlier this year. Rick Ross released his song, Idols Become Rivals, shooting shots at Rick Ross for not paying Wayne and Khaled and pretty much everybody on Cash Money. Now, Birdman took to, I don't know what this was on, Facebook Live. I don't know what this was on. But
it looked like it was on IG.
IG Live, whatever. He took to a video, man, addressing folks, man. Hey, man, Lee, you keep your name out my mouth. Put some respect on my name. And just a friendly reminder to stop talking about him and Wayne and their money situation. Ross, of course, could not let this slide and had his own rant video going off explaining why he was still talking and all of this good shit. Okay, we've all heard the rants. If you haven't, you go find it on YouTube.
Little bro, now.
My question to you is, does Rick Ross need to still entertain Birdman at this point?
Yes, this is what Rick Ross do. Like, Rick Ross is good at this. Rick Ross plays this character and this role to perfection.
Yeah.
All he needed ever was for Birdman to respond in this manner, because this right where Rick Ross wanted. I can talk more shit than you on any day of the week. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for him to come to, he didn't even say Ross' name. Neither one of them said each other's name, but we can all figure out what's going on here.
Clearly.
So I don't know what made Birdman come out this late.
Yeah.
And respond to the album. Something probably finally already pissed him off. And his response to being pissed off was his video. And I think this is exactly what Ross wanted just earlier. Ross wanted it around album time.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? So now that it is coming out, Ross ain't going to fumble the opportunity. He probably got music for days.
Yeah.
And that's the problem in which I was going to say with my son, with the Cypher verse going back to that. He should have music ready to come out.
Agreed.
With that being said, I guarantee you if this Ross stuff blew up any bigger and Birdman responds, Ross got a song on deck addressing this. You don't make idols become rivals and not have another backup song ready. Like, Ross is a musician. He's an artist. Ross, like, does this rap stuff. He studies it.
Absolutely.
So he figured Birdman would come out and say something like this, probably at an earlier stage. Ross got he has an album on deck. All he need is Birdman to go IG Live one more time. Just one more time. Because, look, Ross ain't doing no more posts, because that one he did was perfect. That was it. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to quote him. I want you to go listen to it. So you want? I don't even want to mess up nothing he said.
Yeah,
because that was perfect. That fits right in the Ross persona.
Now here's the thing. You said it was the perfect response. It was funny. It was pretty good.
That's Ross.
I don't think it was warranted.
He been doing this his whole career.
I understand. What I'm saying is, you hit the home run with the Idols Become Rivals.
Mm-mm.
You had everybody on your side.
If you
addressed the situation perfectly. You didn't come at him on no gangster shit. You didn't come at him on no hard street shit. You came at him from, I'm disappointed and my idol is really a false prophet. That shit, you were saddened by it. It's like when you meet, like, your biggest celebrity fan, or excuse me, your biggest celebrity idol, and you meet him and they're an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you're genuinely let down, like, damn.
right.
Like, that's fucked up. That, you had the perfect record for it. You don't need to touch on this. He didn't mention your name. If he would have said Ross, that's a whole other ball game.
You are speaking correctly if you're talking about a rapper, right?
Yeah.
You're not talking about a rapper. You're talking about the boss. His persona is not to take this in stride. I've already addressed it. Birdman came to him as a boss. Birdman was like, nigga, like, Birdman tried to belittle him. Like, you need to keep my name out your mouth. What we doing ain't got nothing to do with you. Essentially, I don't even know why you're speaking on it.
That's a valid point.
That's
though.
A great point. As a boss, you have to respond to that, though. As a rapper, you make a great point. But if I'm Rick Ross and I've been calling myself the boss for the last 15 years, and I made a point to respond, well, to even make it a topic on my last album, I'm definitely going to respond to this. You're not going to play with me. And I'm going to respond to it. It's going to be epic. And I'm going to make it where I know you mad now. I know you mad, Birdman. So you're going to have to say something else. And as soon as you say something else, boom, I'm dropping this new album. I'm dropping the new Birdman this. And it might be featuring Wayne. If he was hard, he got something in the tuck featuring Wayne.
Put that energy into the booth, man. Leave it off of the Instagram videos, bro.
No, this is what Ross do, though. He's been doing this.
We don't want that.
His career's coming to an end. I've been said that.
Yeah, you've been wrong about that.
Yeah, so it's not. I've been right. That was his best album that he came out with was the last one, and it's a wrap. Like, everything is downhill from here, so he got to secure the bag moving forward. And this Birdman beef is perfect to expand his personality that he's built over the last 15 years of rapping. He doing it with Signed. He's going to do it with this.
Just pay Wayne so we can get this shit over.
Nobody ain't paying Wayne.
We over there. I get Wayne might want to kiss that money goodbye and just start a new venture. I'm gonna be honest. Invest in cryptocurrency or something. Like, just do something else, bro.
He ought to make skateboards.
Or just, yeah, make skateboards.
Or like do a little Vans design or some shit like
that'd
that.
That'd be hard. If he had his own low cut Vans, that'd be tough. I know he had his Supras at one time, but niggas ain't rocking
Wayne
Supras.
Vans going for.
That'd be hard. Make them like Yeezys, though. Make them slick expensive.
Yeah, like exclusive and everything. The Wayne Vans.
That'd be tough.
Send us our 10%, Wayne.
Man, listen.
Eat that.
All right, man. Last one before we get to this music break. Sticking with the Birdman theme, two reunions are happening at the end of this year.
Okay.
November, we have a Big Timers reunion. It's a reunion show in Chicago in November. It's crazy. Manny Fresh and Birdman. And we also have Diplomats having a reunion show with who is this with?
Cam and Jim have hooked back up.
Yep.
They're cool. They squashed.
Was it through Spotify?
Yes, yeah, through Spotify. Okay. Rap Caviar. At least for one night, they done hooked back up. Jewel is supposed to be the Cam, Jimmy, all the Dipset.
Okay, so coming from two Big Timer and Dipset fans, if this was the same night,
yep,
you can only have tickets to one of these shows. Which one are you hitting?
This ain't even a question to me.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
Diplomat?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in that Dipset front row, bandana to the side, with a throwback Mitchell and Ness on to my knees, dude. Give me the whole Diplomatic Immunity verbatim, line
Tough.
For line. Let's ride.
Jim first album.
Man, let's
Jewel's
go.
First album.
Let's go.
All that.
That right there, I remember when that came out. I remember that time period and like that would be fire to me. Now, with the Big Timer stuff, Birdman just has been through so much and so many different personas, so many different, what is it? What we say about Puff, how he reinventions.
Gotcha.
So
yeah,
many
yeah, yeah.
different reinventions. I don't think that at this point in time I want to see a 50-year-old Birdman and Manny Fresh perform.
That's going to look crazy.
Shit from How You Love That Volume 2.
That's going to look crazy.
Which came out in 1997.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
So I just don't want to see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though I would get hype if a DJ, if Manny Fresh was DJing in a club and he was playing those old Big Timer songs.
That'd be hard.
We can rock that.
Okay.
I'd go to that after the Diplomat, you know what I'm saying, concert. Yeah, we could do the after party, which is the Big time and shit. But I'm definitely choosing Diplomats.
I'm with you. It's just more recent. You know, Diplomat run was in the early 2000s.
Facts.
It's just more recent, man. That 95, 96, 97, okay. Like, I ride to that in a car every blue moon just to, you know, take me back. But, dog, that Dipset? That Come Home With Me? I got to hear all that, though. Like, he has to play, they got to play solo joints. Group shits, mixtape shits. I need all that. Now, if they're going to do that, where is that at, man? Where is that close?
Nah, it ain't even close.
Fuck.
But we definitely would hit that.
Shit. I want to go to that.
Tough.
But that Big Time is going to be tough.
When is
though.
It? I'll check and see when it is.
That Big Time is still going to be kind of tough, though. I'm not going
to
lie. That's going to be tough.
What they going to do? Get your roll on?
That's hard. That's banging.
I ain't going.
B-sides from the How You Love It?
But
come on now.
Doing that though. The best B-sides got everybody on there, though.
Ah, that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Millionaire Dreams?
That's a good point. Them niggas. Wayne ain't showing up. Wayne ain't showing
man,
up.
Come on, dog.
Yeah, that's blowing it. Pay that man. Make sure all producers get paid.
Make sure Wayne get paid. That's what we care about.
All right, man. Speaking of Chicago, man, music break. My girlfriend, Dreezy, she's got a new single out featuring Black. You know, Black with the six. We call him Six Black, just so you know who the fuck we talking
no
about.
No idea who that. Six Lack?
Yeah, we're going to. Six Lack. That's what we're going to call him.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking
Dreezy
about.
Dreezy featuring Six Lack and Kodak Black. It's called Spar. Let's check it out, man. See what she got cooking in the shop. And if I go to D.C., I'm trying to spar with Trump. I ain't a politician. Just can't ignore the stuff. I take this life at come. Got hard, but still won't show love. If I tell people where I'm from, they might think I got a gun. Still in the box, no tax on bands on my one. I took my feelings
out the shit and put my trust in my funds. Tell my dad, homie, on my sleeve. Don't need glasses, see what I see. Told me at 10 what I want gon' be. Nigga ain't make the least. We turn to the streets. Cops wanna blast for the CID. Might do the race, but a nigga catch me. Damn, if it be another RIP. It's a black, white word, but I only see green. Killers getting off innocent when the clip showing that he did the shit. Try and talking, they ain't listening, but they'll point it out when you get ignorant. Fuck with you if you a benefit. That's why I pay him cash at the dealership. And I got money stashed for the builder shit, but I'ma write it off, good penmanship. Can't say we representing when half the office white supremacists. This can't be land of the free if kneeling might cost your position. I'm supposed to respect the system and call our brothers sons of bitches. And when my uncle came home from prison for the same shit, y'all trying to turn to a business. Man, take our culture, our blueprint, pay the knockoff to come out of us. Hurricanes come and swallow us. Op niggas trying to put the dot on us. We pouring Henny cause we all bottled up. Granny still scratch a lot of stuff, but the Bible says gon' full circle. I'm just trying to find me a good purpose. My work on is fuck. My life is hard enough. They not rewarding us. They disregarding us. And if I go to D.C., I'm trying to spar with Trump. I'm not a politician.
Man, that was my girlfriend Dreezy featuring...
You need to relax.
I'm just saying, featuring Six Lack and I'm Kodak Six Black. Lack. How you feel about that? That was called Spar.
I want to know who wrote Dreezy verse.
Don't do my girl like it.
Ain't nobody write that.
She ripped it.
That verse was spectacular.
She did a thing on that, man. Murdered it. Wrote
either
the beat.
She's getting great. She done put her 10,000 hours in. She done mastered this shit. Or someone wrote that.
I think she mastered it.
Okay, I give her that, dude. She's sexy enough for me to give her that.
That's my girlfriend, man. Watch how you talking about my lady.
Definitely not your girlfriend.
All right, we are back. Revolt Music Conference.
This is the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
We already know who you are. You said this at the beginning of the show.
Yes, it's called a reset.
I doubt if anybody just picked up and listened 30 minutes into the show.
Do you not understand? It's called a reset. You have to do that when you come back from a break.
Fuck. All right,
who
man.
Are you?
I'm Animal Brown.
Not the original, though. Let's go.
Revolt Music Conference 2017, Miami. For those who don't know, like, what the fuck? What do y'all keep saying, Revolt Music? What is this? What would you describe?
4 years, what, 4 years deep?
Yeah, this is the fourth year.
Okay.
It's a four-day conference, Thursday through Sunday. It happens in Miami. Of course, Revolt is the TV network owned by Puff, P. Diddy. And he has a conference, like I said, 4 days. They go there, aspiring musicians go there, people trying to get into the industry, but it's mostly musicians.
Yeah.
And there's like different panel discussions, a lot of different celebrities. Of course, it's Puff, his Rolodex is crazy. So when he calls you and tells you to pull up, it's pretty simple. You pull up.
And he bringing it back.
And of course, he's going to bring the bag for you. Don't worry about that. And there's just a lot of different tools and knowledge and things of that nature you can gain. Not only are they like famous like celebrities and stuff like that, but there's also people, little known people that you may not know but are very influential, like maybe like the editor in chief at XXL, at Vibe magazine, or maybe this media company or that media company. So it's just a really good networking tool.
Tough. So the setup is they do different panels throughout the week. Those different panels consist of things that you would like to know about that have a impact on hip hop, whether it be podcasting, whether it be marketing, whether it be A&Rs, whether it be how to get signed, whatever it is, they have different experts at these different panels. You go, you listen, you talk, whether you're an artist, whether you're someone who has a business going on, or whether you're just a fan and you want to know how all of these things work.
Yeah, man.
Revolt has different workshops, different panels, different experiences for you to see as a fan, as a business, if you want your employees to go, whatever it is it may be. So as the On Deck TV podcast, our experiences is we usually go down there, play a couple of panels, play a couple of parties, and play the lobby because you'll see a lot of people in and out of the lobbies, a lot of artists, a lot of but CEOs of Revolt, people that work with Revolt, writers, journalists, things of that nature. So it's a good experience to network, to talk to different people.
Absolutely. So like you said, we're in the Hotel Eden Rock. The first 2 years, it was at Fountain Blue. They're both equally expensive as hotels. But so everything happens in the lobby, dude. It's where it's popping at. So we ran into a couple of people. Any celebrity encounter, any celebrity... What stood out to you first? Because we saw a lot of people.
Stood out was them ugly ass Balenciagos.
Balenciagas?
Runners.
Yeah, that Pusha T had on.
Trying to make work.
Pusha T was there. He was on one of the panels. He was chopping it up with DJ Clark Kent. Please do your Googles if you don't know who DJ Clark Kent is.
He found Jay-Z.
No need to Google anymore.
So, with that being said, I don't understand how people are trying to make these Balenciaga runners work.
Yeah, those are
how
trash.
We trying to make these work?
They're trash.
Because he was rocking them, and no shame. And if I'm Pusha T, it doesn't matter. I ain't put the album out yet to have that much confidence to rock those shoes.
Trash.
I just can't do that.
They're $1,700 though.
I don't give a fuck.
People care about that shit.
What?
I'm just saying.
Dude, have you seen those? Those are Skechers, dude.
Basically.
Those are
Joe Montana Skechers.
Exactly. That's what those shoes are. Man, I don't care what's wrote on the side of it.
I'm going to tell you what stood out to me, man. Busta Rhymes. I was coming through the lobby, and I saw Busta Rhymes had just came from Valet, and he looked pissed. And I don't mean like regular, like.
I'm going to say Busta Rhymes are always mad, though.
That's what. But see, usually it's like bad reacts to the steroid type pissed.
Ah, oh, man.
But this right here,
that's
like.
Animal Brown.
Yes, it is. We just did the reset, dude. Everybody knows who the fuck I am right now.
Not Busta Rhymes when he come pushing you like he did, dude, in that video, but go ahead.
Yes, we come to find out the reason he was looking so upset was that he had just gotten to a shoving match with a cat at the Valet. And I just saw the video on TMZ because, of course, they have the footage. And that shit looked crazy, and dude should have went on ahead and fired on Busta Rhymes and sued him. Should have just went on ahead and fired on him because they were nose to nose for some reason we don't know.
Yeah.
And Busta Rhymes pushed the shit out of dude and repeatedly said, What up, nigga?
What
spitting
up,
in his face, essentially.
I don't believe he's. Nah.
Not while he was talking.
Okay. He didn't spit in his face.
Nah, while he was talking.
Okay, just the aftermath of
all of that
rough talk. Yeah, you got to fight Busta Rhymes at that point if you do. I don't know what he said, and I don't know why Busta Rhymes would get that mad at words. Busta Rhymes does seem to have an anger problem. I don't know, but you're welcome to come to the On Deck TV podcast and talk to us about it. With that being said, I'm gone, and like, I don't feel like Busta Rhymes going to do that much damage.
Busta Rhymes a big-ass motherfucker, though.
That's true. He ain't style. I mean, he ain't. What's my
Sheik?
He ain't Sheik Luch.
Nah, he not. Because like, Sheik bigger than shape.
That's what Busta
Rhymes is just big.
If Sheik Luch was in my face like that and pushing me, don't get it wrong. I'm not macho man at all. I would have did the same thing the dude did. I'm just saying, if it was Busta Rhymes, I'm gonna take that chance because I don't think he gonna do that much damage. Same thing with Charlamagne, boy Wax. When I seen him at the book signing, the wax in your face, like nope, nope. Because they're going to do damage. Like, that's damage that's going to be done. I don't feel like Busta Rhymes going to do damage. And I ain't taking nothing away from him. I'm just saying, if I'm dude, we got to go on and box.
Busta Rhymes looked pissed. I said, Busta Bus. He kept it moving.
Man,
I was like, oh, okay.
Dude, that nigga had the frown of the century on, dude. You know where your forehead ball up when you mad? He was that mad, dude.
I was like,
damn, someone
bro.
Called his name in the lobby, dude. He turned around like he was ready to fight them.
Man, I called his name in the lobby. He turned around like
fight
he was.
You.
Absolutely. Nigga, that shit crazy. All right. Also, T.I. was there. T.I. performed with his Hustle Gang.
Let's go.
Of course, he dropped the Hustle Gang We Won't Smoke
they
project.
Won't smoke.
What do you think about, A,
they
his performances,
smoke.
The songs that we heard, and his camp?
I think that check was nice. I think Puff called T.I. and he was like, hey, whatever you can bring to the table to make this weekend more fulfilling than it already is, do it. And T.I. was like, all right, what the check look like? And he grabbed all the We Won't Smoke people.
Yep.
Didn't.
Because remember, that project was supposed to come out about a month ago.
Right. This is pushback free
to
promo.
Right.
They just got a free trip to Miami. T.I. got a check.
And a free trip
Puff
to Miami.
Puff got content. You know what I'm saying? That's how it worked out. That's what it was. T.I. looked like he was there for that. Like
he didn't look crazy on stage with the youngsters, though?
I mean, what you expect? He promoting a new brand. He trying to do a new generation of Grand Hustle.
But
I ain't
why,
mad
though?
At that.
Why?
Money. Like, he ain't trying to be.
He
like,
gonna
he
get
ain't
money off
to
his
be,
Hustle Gang, bro?
He Stop. Might, he ain't trying to be a Revolt next year.
He could have got a check going dolo.
But then he got to do all the
work. Dime trap.
Then he got to do all the work. I can get these. Look, this is a great experience for these 6-7 people that's in the We Won't Smoke crew. I don't even know what to call it.
Hustle Gang.
So, yeah, We Won't Smoke crew. The people in the We Won't Smoke crew, if they want exposure, they're going to be excited. They're going to do their thing. Like the chick with them, she was looking nice. She had a nice outfit on. There was a couple dudes on there that was spitting. They bringing this Miami, this Revolt, this Puff. T.I. got to take advantage of that as a businessman. Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm going to come out there. I ain't got to spit but like 4 or 5 bars, walk through, I'm T.I., go through a couple panels, go do Drink Champs. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice little check. He Puff gave him $100,000 for that.
Man, fuck no.
Man, Puff gave him $100,000 for that, bro.
Now, they could have made $100,000 off the bar.
Gave more than that.
They could have made that off the bar because, I'm going to be honest, that food was so fucking expensive. 8-piece wings. An 8-piece wing at Eden Rock was $22, dude.
Hotel food. That's going to do it.
Too. $22?
That's rough.
With 18% gratuity automatically added?
And drinks was $15.
Nigga, my Pepsi was $7. It was a can. Monk-ass nigga didn't want to tell me the price before he opened the can.
I don't do my boy like it.
He was cool, though.
I was going to say, don't do my, because he wasn't even going, he wasn't going to ask you for the other $2, though.
Oh, because I gave him a $5.
Yeah,
he
was you gave him a $5.
You're right. He
was going
to
cash you on out.
Until I said something.
And you asked him how much it costs. Like, I ain't even going to ask for my change. Like, that nigga like, what change, nigga? This shit $7, a 12-ounce can of Coke.
$7.
$7.
Hot about that. He gave me another one, though.
It was not amusement park either.
That's crazy.
It's Eden Rock. It's no rides, no nothing. But with that being said, I mean, it was a cool time. Like I said, my guy right there, he was cool.
He looked out.
He kept it flowing. The lobby is a place in which we were playing. We seen a lot of comings and goings, met a lot of people. One of the things that I took from it that were different from when we went before, we had our On Deck TV podcast shirts on.
Of course.
People are a lot more receptive to what podcasts are now. A lot more people are listening to them, and you get a lot more questions, a lot more inquiries about, like, how do y'all do it? What's the format? What is it about? Oh, that's cool. So that was something good that I took from it as well.
4 years ago, nobody knew what a podcast was.
Yeah, you would tell them a podcast. Oh, is it like a radio show?
No, they wouldn't even say that. They'd just be like, what is that?
Okay.
Yeah, they'd have no fucking clue.
Exactly.
So now, yes, the education piece is done.
Fact.
Now it's easier to sit there with a shirt on and people come up to you asking you what it is that what you got going on.
Right.
What I thought was interesting that 21 Savage, and I didn't even see him until you said something. We was damn near finna cross paths. He was walking to his outside performance, and he was walking a little boy.
Was it Sebastian?
You mean Bash?
Young Sebastian, man.
I thought his name was Bash.
Sebastian.
Why you keep calling him Sebastian?
It's short for Sebastian. Bash is short for Sebastian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Clear. Like, nobody named.
Dude, what do you
Bash.
You keep up with fucking Entertainment Weekly?
I'm just saying, who would
kids,
name their
celebrity
son?
Kids?
Who would name their son Bash?
People, B-A-S-H. Kids are Rumor and Apple and shit, dude.
I'm a
Blue.
Well, actually, I'm not true. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming that Bash is short for Sebastian.
Oh, you just assumed.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm assuming this is normal.
Normal so. Life. We don't know who the little boy was, but I will say Amber Rose was two people behind 21 Savage with the wig on, and I didn't notice her at all until you said something.
She had the red wig on. She liked the chick from Jessica Rabbit. That's who she looked like.
Okay. I didn't notice her. I saw the wig. I mean, I saw the hair from deep, but I didn't know who the fuck that was. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the little boy was which he they. I heard him call him dad though. So there's no way that was Wiz Khalifa's son, bro. I'm just
you're
there's
just,
no.
Just being petty.
I swear to you though, somebody told me they heard the little boy call him dad. So on that note, we're just gonna assume that there was not a little Bash.
I heard him calling.
Dude, that's what somebody
dad,
told me.
Man.
Dead ass serious. Now here's my thing that what I thought was interesting.
Wendy Williams told you that.
Not at all. Okay. 21 Savage was walking aimlessly and looked like he didn't know where he was going.
Aimless.
Didn't know where he was at. It almost looked like the little boy was walking him and not the reverse of him walking the little boy. 21 Savage is strange. That's the moral of the story.
He's not strong. Well,
he's strange looking, bro.
You said that we were there and I just didn't get what like
you said how he was looking?
He was looking
out.
Like I'm headed to a performance. I'm high. I had to get in my zone to do it. I'm with Amber Rose, and I don't know who this child is. I don't even know why he's calling me dad. I'm trying to go get my bag and leave. That's what he looked like to me. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, his set was cut short because it started raining.
It started raining something serious, but
crazy.
And it got to do with what your boy Herbo was saying. It's the second week that I referenced his interview, but that's post traumatic stress from hood shit, man.
Well, that explains why he was looking like that then.
I see. I mean, it's I ain't gonna say it's normal, but I would expect him to look that way though. It's not surprising.
That shit was crazy. I wouldn't mind looking at the performance though. Just to kind of see how, I wonder what his energy is like on stage. Is he going to be dry like Migos, or is he going to be more turned up and unexpected?
How did 21 Savage run off the stage in the rain?
I don't know. He grabbed the little boy chauffeured him off the stage.
G shit. It was like, oh shit, it's running, like, you know what I'm saying? Did I throw it?
Nah, he did the real nigga slow job.
The real nigga slow job.
Tough. Okay. That's how we do.
Did security put an umbrella over 21 though?
They would have put it over me if I was him. Nah, and it got to be Louis.
I don't even need no umbrella. I ain't gonna lie.
I've never owned, little known black history fact, I've never owned an umbrella.
Where do you buy umbrellas?
Where?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where would you go get an umbrella if you wanted to buy one?
Walgreens? I don't know. Walmart?
I don't know.
I'm asking. The Gucci store, motherfucker? I don't know. I've never owned one. Are you listening?
I don't know.
You
definitely had an umbrella.
Now, let me tell you who I saw that you didn't get a chance to see in your heating. Okay. I was in the cut charging my phone up because they had the charging stations on deck.
Shout out, go ahead, mobile chargers.
Absolutely. The mobile charger was clutch. And out of the cut comes, like, this dude dressed in the tux, like, rushing this chick out. And I'm like, damn, where are they going? And he's holding her shoes, and she's walking dumb fast in, like, an evening-type gown. It was Lauren London, new, looking glorious in person, super thick, threw me off guard. I said, oh, shit.
She was thick?
Yes. Mm. Lauren London was thick. I was like, whoa. I was like, hey, now, in the cut, rushing through. She was hoping when nobody noticed her. I was like, damn, Lauren London. I seen the dimples from deep. Nunu. So I can confirm Nunu is as amazing in person as she is on TV.
She had that glow.
But I'm going to tell you who was glowed up more than her. Nigga, why? There was
ain't possible.
Nah, somebody was glowed up more than her.
It ain't possible. With Beyonce, though? Beyonce was at Revolt, I ain't see her.
We was posted up near the elevators. There was a gala that went on Saturday night. Everybody get dressed to the nines.
Young SZA shook it.
SZA was there. They were honoring Queen Latifah, and Lauryn Hill was there. Puff comes out of the elevator with his mom, his son, and Cassie.
His son was shaking.
Yeah, his son was.
Go ahead.
His son, you know, King Combs is going to be a beast out here.
Man, listen.
Man, Cassie came out of the elevator. Like, dolled up, though. I'm talking about, like, the big boy gown, makeup on 10, hair on 10. Man, she was so
too bad.
Dude, it was like a light was shining down on her as she was walking to the fucking gala. I was like, Jesus. She bad, man. I'm sorry. Like, Cassie is fine as hell, dude.
I'm getting a breaking news in my headphones here. The On Deck special report team is telling me that the night before, Cassie was spotted smoking Newports.
Yeah.
At Puff's private
bar. We got intel, man. One of our people was at the Puff
breaking
crib.
News is coming through. She was smoking Newports prior to that, though.
That hurts my heart just a little bit.
You take a little bit away?
Take a little bit away. I'm not a cigarette guy. It's just me.
What if she hopped out the elevator with the Newport?
I'd be so disappointed in her. I'd rather have them black and mild like Shannon Sharp.
And them yakking them miles, man.
I'd rather have hopped out with the yakking them miles, man.
Shannon the mood on the moonshine though. You're a week late.
I'm hot about that.
Shout out Uncle Shannon, man.
But she was bad. Now Lauryn Hill, most everybody just came through the valet, walked up the steps, walked through the crowd, a little bit of a crowd, but they walked through the crowd and got to the gala. Monica walked through the crowd. Everybody pulled up. David Banner walked through. Everybody walked through normal. Except Lauryn Hill. We're outside in valet. Lauryn Hill pulls up in a big dog Escalade SUV. You know, obviously she's not driving. She was being driven. But they stop just short of the steps for valet, and they get out to like a side step that takes you downstairs underneath the hotel.
That's the kitchen.
Dude, when I tell you they got her out of that car and rushed her to the side, bro, it ain't like her feet touched the ground. I was like, what the fuck? It was like she floated to the damn under the steps, dude. I don't even know if she was really there.
I wonder what is it to make people get like that, because we were talking to Rated R.
Yes, that's the driver for Puff.
He do other things too.
Yeah, he do a bunch of shit.
So he said
head of security.
Right. And he was telling us when we was at the Breakfast Club show that when you are speaking to Lauryn Hill, refer to her as Miss Hill or she won't respond.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's
like
crazy.
How do you get that way? How do you get like, well, I can't walk through the lobby.
Right.
What are you, like, scared of? I don't understand it.
Would you argue she was the biggest star there and not named Puff?
Lauryn Hill?
Yeah.
Queen Latifah, no.
We didn't see her either, though. I think she might have been ushered through the fucking Batcave. I didn't think Queen Latifah really existed. Like, I don't know anybody that's ever met Queen Latifah. Let's be honest. or Lauryn Hill for that matter. Are these real people?
See what I'm saying? Look, like
these motherfuckers, like these, Hill, they're larger than
only,
life.
Lauryn Hill is only that big of a star because she pulled those shenanigans and doesn't show up.
Or she's hella late to shit. She's got that mystique and that aura around her, though.
Like, she late, she don't show up. If she do, it's a problem. Like, if you actually get to see her perform, it's like, oh, shit.
So yeah, it's like an event.
I mean, I'm over that, Chuck. With the
Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah factor, though, you're right. I don't know anyone who has seen her ever.
Like, does anybody know anybody who's met Queen Latifah? Please tweet
me. Who is talking about Jay-Z? That's another person like that. How many people seen Jay-Z?
Nah, but you see pictures of Jay in studios and...
What?
And people... I've seen... I haven't seen Jay live, but I know it's people that have, though.
I mean, I've seen in him concert. Live. I've seen him in concert.
Yeah. That's close.
Queen Latifah don't do concerts, though. She do plays and shit.
Who's
plays?
Who?
I mean, I'm sure Queen Latifah has done a play where people have seen her in something.
Somebody tweet me that's seen Queen Latifah in person.
Who is somebody else like that?
Lauryn Hill, for that matter.
That's not true.
You just seen her. She glided like the fucking Wicked Witch of the West.
You seen? Give me a gooder, a better one.
Not a gooder. You can say Jordan. I saw Jordan though. It was Jordan. Jordan got that mystique too. He just not out here like it. But I seen him in Vegas and was blown away. You could actually feel his presence before you saw him. No bullshit.
Let me tell you what you'd never see.
Who?
OJ.
I don't know. He might get out and shake it after about a year though.
You're never running into OJ.
We thought that when he had beat the murder case though. And he was shaking.
Look where he was at.
In Florida, shaking it, motherfucker. You saw the documentary.
He was breaking in a Las Vegas hotel room.
It was 20 years later.
You didn't see him? That's what I'm saying. You're not running into OJ. You're never running into OJ.
Man, back to Revolt. You mentioned the Breakfast Club. We sat in on the Breakfast Club. It was dumb early, but it was very entertaining. Their radio show was actually really good. If you've ever sat just through a full radio show, as opposed to just the interviews,
very professional.
DJ Envy literally was blinding everybody in the crowd with his wristwear. His ice game is undefeated.
That was fuck you, ice.
6 a.m. in the morning, he's iced to the nines on his left arm. I'm talking about his stupid.
That had to be from the night before.
Like, he was,
he had to be going to the club in that ice. That wasn't club ice. Yeah, that wasn't no wake up, do the radio show ice. That was like, I just left the club. Y'all lucky I'm here, because he did say something about he was about to cancel.
That's true.
That was like going to the club ice. Because that ice right there. And listen.
Now, Charlamagne wasn't there. More on that in just a moment. So it was Yee and DJ Envy doing the live show, and Charlamagne was via Skype or satellite or some shit.
But
he could see us or whatnot because they had cameras. Now, for the first hour, maybe hour and a half, and you pointed this out, Envy and Yee didn't say shit to each other at the breaks.
Other than when they were on air, they didn't say one word to each other.
Nothing.
Now, we're not trying to claim that there was any beef.
No, not at all.
But it was just strange to notice that it's like them sitting there right next to each other and not once did they look over and be like, oh, did you see this? Did you do that? Like, never.
They didn't say shit
at all.
Now,
other than when they were on air.
I will say this, though. After about maybe like the second or third hour, I did see them interacting a little bit more in between breaks, though.
After the shots of De Leon.
Yes, they were taking shots. Man, listen. I ain't fucking with the shots at 6 o'clock in the morning. Y'all can have that. I'm gonna be real.
They about their life, though.
Clearly. They passed out shots to everybody. Envy, I fuck with Envy. He seemed like a real dude. He's still kind of corny, but shout out Queens Village, though. We in the building. Now, Charlamagne, he wasn't there. I see him take the Twitter like, I ain't got time for that shit, blah, 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 blah.
Well, he did say on the show, too, today that people don't get, he's not sure what people get from Revolt.
He did say that, too. Now, when we talked to Rated R, like you said, he was head of security. He also drove, and he does a couple of things for Bad Boy. He's real tight with Puff. He gave us the real scoop as to why Charlamagne wasn't there. Remember that incident 2 years ago where him and Mace got into it and allegedly Wax had came and kind of disposed of, of Mace?
Yeah, got the situation handled.
Now, apparently, that was a little more in-depth than Charlamagne had put on. And there was a little more shit that happened. It went on a little bit longer than just a nigga physically taking Mace and getting him out the way. It was a little bit of a melee. Yeah,
it was a little bit more than that.
It was a little more than that. So much more than that that they suggested Because obviously Mace is Bad Boy, Bad Boy is Puff, Puff is Revolt, Revolt is Breakfast Club.
Okay.
They didn't want any problems moving forward, so they suggested, air quote, that Charlamagne sit this one out and that he not come. So I thought that was very interesting.
But look, I bet that was a mutual thing.
Yeah, I'm sure, because like, he probably still got paid. Yeah,
okay, exactly.
Yeah, it, yeah, okay. Mutual thing. Right. Or maybe he didn't.
Nah, he probably wasn't even looking for no check. He probably don't, like, from the sentiment in which I heard him speaking from today on the Breakfast Club, like, I just don't think that it was, like, it don't sound like an event that he's excited about anymore, because he was talking, they were going over the highlights and everything from it, and he was like, it need to be an artist to get signed from Revolta, what are they doing that for? When, I mean, it's a lot more than that, but it just seemed like he came off as salty talking about it, but I did not
know. That's what it sounded like.
I did not know that Tory Lanez got discovered at Revolta.
You talking about Bryson Tiller?
Oh, Bryson Tiller.
Bryson Tiller got discovered.
Bryson Tiller.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlamagne sounds like he's salty, and which leads me to the question, would you rather be in a position with someone like Envy where you can walk around and be cool? Because he was walking around dapping niggas up, taking selfies, taking pictures. Like, he was cool. Actually, right. He was on the same level. But Charlamagne has ascended a little bit farther than them in terms of celebrity status, but now he can't go to Revolt and walk around and chill. I know you have to be content with it, but is there one that you would prefer? You want the higher status but can't walk around with the people, or you want to the lower status but I'm still eating good and I can walk around with the people?
I think it's more lucrative for Charlamagne, though. Like, I really don't care if I can go walk around at Revolt and not be bothered or not have to show up because an artist is mad at me. I feel like with the opinion that I have, and excuse me, I meaning speaking from the perspective of Charlamagne.
Right.
I can have a best-selling book as to where Envy is going to do Howard and whatever it may be, Homecoming this week, Hampton, Homecoming.
By his wrist game, it looked like he had a best-selling book.
That's cool, but that didn't come from, like Charlamagne get paid to be inflammatory behind the microphone. So, if I were
him, that come with the territory.
It come with it, exactly. So, someone being like, "Well, we'd rather you sit Miami out because of what happened last year." Okay, I'm good with that. Like, I can go home. I have a wife and two kids. Speaking of, if I'm Charlamagne,
but you gotta watch out for the man. Can I get the drops? And you gotta, Envy don't be having them problems
that we know of.
That's fair, but right. And that we know of, we don't have those problems. He don't have those problems, and that we know of, Charlamagne has those problems,
right?
He got into it with Busta Rhymes. Mm-hmm. He got into it with Mace. Mm-hmm. Niggas faked the drops to try to jump them. Like, you have to look over your shoulder.
But that adds,
I think, that peace of mind. You still get in the bag if you envy. I think that peace of mind is priceless.
But that adds to Charlamagne's effectiveness too, though. Because people are reacting to him in that way, he knows what he's saying is striking a chord with people.
Of course. And you, that's why he's so, as, like, popular as he is.
Like, what, exactly. So, like what you said with envy is eating. No doubt about that. But you said he cool, but you feel like he lame.
Yeah, I do.
Right. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
At all. Yeah. But with that being said, Charlamagne, you're not saying that about Charlamagne.
No, I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. So his personality, persona is going to ring a lot longer. Envy's bag is, like, he getting to it, and he probably does a lot of other things that add to it. But I feel like Charlamagne can do one thing. And that one thing is loud enough, vocal enough, effective enough. It registers enough with people, whether they hate it or they love it, to he'll eat off that for a longer amount of time as to what Envy's eating off of.
That's fair. Man, to put a bow on it, Revolt was a success. I had a great time. I had more fun this year than probably any of them first three. I'm gonna be, and I had fun those first three. Don't get it twisted, but this year was,
yeah. This was, I think
this was lit. This,
I had the most fun time, and this was the first time that we went and didn't go to no clubs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Didn't do none of that, but it was like the people that we interacted with. We had a blast.
Absolutely. Shout out to everybody we met. We kicked it with. Of course, y'all know who y'all are. I don't want to name everybody because I'm gonna leave somebody out.
Right.
Music break real quick. Let's keep it Florida since we down there.
305.
Ball Greasy. Woo. He got his latest project. He was down there mingling with the people.
Yeah, man. He was out there Cuban Link song.
Absolutely. Let's listen to his latest joint. It's called I Want You. Let's hear it.
She want a nigga chaser. Fiend for like a bass. But I can't even lie to. La mama del lado. New breasts, tummy tuck, and butt shots. Thick thighs, nice lips, and a big cock. La mama off the chain. Ain't doing too much, just enough to be bae. I'ma show her what a real nigga like. See, bae, I wanna fuck you tonight. That's some real nigga shit. I got a bitch at home, I wanna slide real quick. See, if you down, we can do something. We be done by two something. Oh, for real, what you smiling for? I want you bouncing up and down on this diving board. Boing.
That was Ball Greasy, one of the most interesting rap names in the game.
What that means?
I don't wonder what that means, actually.
Young Ball Greasy.
With I Want You, how you feel about that? Something for the ladies?
It's cool. That whole tape was called Bay Something. It's dedicated to the ladies.
Bay Day.
Bay Day.
Yeah,
so y'all go check out that Ball Greasy Bay Day. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a cool song.
Some Florida stuff.
Fantastic sample.
If I'm in Florida, I'm bumping that.
I can see that top down.
Yeah, Miami. It's Miami. Listen, it's Miami music.
Man. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Question of the week before we get ghost. Gucci Mane has a very interesting couple of interviews on YouTube right now. Of course, he's on a promo run for that Mr. Davis album.
Yeah, man,
and
I'm,
for
I'm
his autobiography.
Late to the wedding, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. We late to the wedding. he has an interview on YouTube, a six-part series, I believe, with Malcolm Gladwell, the author. Very interesting interview. One of the questions that Malcolm Gladwell asked Gucci was that if he was stranded on a deserted island, and he could only bring five songs with him to listen to for the rest of his life, what would they be? I was like, oh, that was an interesting question. I'm going to steal that and ask it on the show for our question of the week. Now, we can flip it. We could do four rap songs and then one other, whatever genre you feel.
Okay.
What are your five?
I'm going with, I need some Pac, so I'm going with Keep Your Head Up.
Okay.
I got to go with Song Cry from Jay, the most personable song. I could listen to that on repeat.
Okay.
I got to go UGK off my favorite album, High Life, Riding Dirty album.
Of course. That's banging right there. That's banging right there. I ain't gonna lie.
My guy, Boosie.
Ty, you blew it.
That's it.
You had me. You had me until the fucking Boosie song, dude. Independent.
You don't know my struggle.
I-N-D-E, all
relax.
That.
Relax. You don't know my struggle.
You want to listen to that on a deserted island? You trying to kill yourself?
I'm banging it every day. Because you're waking up with the struggle on a deserted island, not being around people.
Okay.
But that. And I had, actually, my last one is going to be Phil Collins In the Air Tonight.
Okay. Not bad.
I need that Phil Collins.
Not bad. All right. So my five, which are barbecuing your five. I'm picking Jay-Z, but I got to go Lost Ones. Fucking
Lost
murdered
ones.
That.
Okay.
It's my favorite Jay-Z song.
Really?
Got to go Pac, Changes. Flames. Probably the best song he released posthumously.
Beat trash.
I'm not mad at that beat, though.
Yeah, beat trash.
I see no changes. All I see is racist faces.
Yeah,
he killed
bars.
It.
Yeah, them bars banging. Beat trash.
I got to go Kanye West with a B-side joint, I Wonder.
Through the Wire? Oh, I Wonder.
Oof.
What is that, Graduation?
And yes.
I wonder.
What
it means. Ooh. Yeah, that's
my idea. Listen, I can listen to that for hours. Yeah, I'm retarded. I can listen to that all day, literally. And then I got to go See Murder. I got to go Something No Limit. Y'all
I have
know me.
To go See Murder. And yes. This nigga talking about me with Bootsy.
Absolutely.
I have to go See Murder. What is it, Fuck Them Other Niggas?
No, A Kick Though. Him and UGK.
We gonna run around a fucking island kicking over coconut trees?
Yes. Hype off that Sea Murder. And for my fifth song, I gotta go Marvin Gaye, I Want You. Fittingly, we just played a song with that sample.
I put you on that.
Nah, that's not true.
I definitely put you on this song.
I remember, no lie, what did I fly to? I think this might have been on the way to Cali. Mm-hmm. I listened to that song the entire flight.
Yeah, I thought I put you on it.
No.
I definitely put you
I listened to that song on repeat the entire 4.5-hour flight. That's how much I fuck with that song.
That's on that 20th Century Marvin Gaye Millennial Collection.
That shit is amazing and will never, ever get old.
Yeah, that's mine.
All right, new music out right now. We mentioned the Gucci, Mr. Davis.
Mr. Davis, what is it? Mr. Davis?
Fire.
Yeah, that's mine. That's the best album that Gucci came out with. Like the best
mixtape, too?
No.
Okay. Just business, commercial
yeah,
album.
Best commercial album that has a barcode. That was it. That's it. He got into his zone. He had the right features. This is the album, if you want to get into Gucci Mane, that you need to check out.
Clone Gucci is so much better than old Gucci. This album is fire. And if y'all listen to the show, y'all know I don't fuck with Gucci like that music wise. This album is fire. Like, I'm not even gonna flex, dude. I was banging this shit all weekend. Because I thought it was maybe the Miami scenery. But then I listened to it back in, and I was like, nah, this shit still ride.
I thought it was the Miami scenery.
I did. Hustle Gang, We Won't Smoke. That's out now.
Is it?
Yeah. I ain't feeling that, I'm gonna be real. Wu-Tang Saga continues.
What?
I actually listened to it, though.
Wu-Tang got a new album?
Tough. It's not the $2 million album. This is on some other shit.
Why would
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But then again, I'm not a Wu-Tang fan, so Wu-Tang fans may think this shit is ass. I listened to it, I was like, oh, okay.
Really?
It was all right. It wasn't like, oh, man, get throw this shit out of my phone.
It didn't sound like 1992?
Nah. It didn't sound like
beating
that.
Beating on the table?
Nah. None of that shit. All right. And then, of course, Young Dolph drops this week. Thinking Out Loud.
No comment.
You think over or under 3 songs addressing the shooting? No, that's impossible.
It's not all the way surrounded and based on the shooting?
Nah. Oh, it's impossible unless he had a studio in his fucking hospital.
He may have. Young Dolph was rapping through the tube.
Through the wire. Through the wire. And it's interesting because Yo Gotti's getting ready to drop 2.
Yeah, what's his new one called? I Am
Still
2?
I Am.
That's not... I need Yo Gotti to be more creative, man.
Oh, no, I Still Am, excuse me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, come on, dude.
That comes out next weekend.
But Still I Am?
That's too close. Hey, man, is he poking fun at him, though, by dropping right before Gotti, the week before?
Who, Dolph?
Yes.
Yes. That's what he do. And he going to get shot again for playing.
Isn't it crazy? All right, we got to get out of here. I did have a very funny NBA YoungBoy story. I'm going to have to say that to next week.
Oh, at TSU Homecoming?
Yes.
You gonna tease it like that for a whole week?
I got to say that to next week.
Yeah, we ran out of time.
Yeah, we running over, man. We was getting too deep into the revolt shit. What do you have on deck for the weekend?
We're going to do the show in Nashville.
Right? Oktoberfest in Nashville, people.
Dope Shit Only Crew.
Yes. Listen, pull up and fuck with us. They're going to have a pop-up shop. We are doing a live podcast. We're going to have some special guests. It's going to be very dope.
All the fire plates I've been seeing from people in the city in Nashville. I like the people that cook and shit. I need a couple plates pulled up.
I need a couple veggie plates. Quita.
Know nothing about all that.
Quita, I know you listening.
I need a couple plates, but I need to know what's on the menu. This weekend when I'm in town, I need a couple plates.
Y'all pull up on us Saturday, October 21st, Studio 340. Mm-hmm. It's at 340 West Trinity Lane. Follow our Instagram page for more information at On Deck TV Podcast, of course. Shout out Dope Shit Only Crew, man, for inviting us.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a fucking blast. Y'all come up there and pull up. Even we got a lot of listeners in Nashville, some of which I've never even met. Mm-hmm. Y'all got to pull up to this so we can rap with us, man. Fuck with us.
Definitely not. Studio, we're not Hollywood, so we want to get to know y'all.
Yeah, I definitely
especially
won't have the shades
in
indoors.
City, you definitely wear the shades indoors. That's you.
I don't
know. Hype Beast. Shout out J Ho.
Other than that, it should be fun. Y'all come out, kick it with us.
As always, join the conversation, man. Rap Ooh, chat yes. on Facebook and rate, subscribe, and like on iTunes.
There you
it's
go.
A lot easier now that you're able to do it with your upgrade if you got the new iPhone. So go ahead and do that for us. It gets a lot of looks on iTunes.
Absolutely, man. Other than that, same time, same place. NBA YoungBoy story next week. I promise you, it's fucking hilarious.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.